Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. This is Abdul Nasser Jengda and you're listening to the Qalam podcast. Qalam is an organization dedicated to making Islamic knowledge accessible for everyone. Alhamdulillah, the month of Ramadan is a very beautiful and powerful opportunity for learning and spiritual growth in the life of a Muslim. Therefore, Qalam has put together amazing resources for you and your family, your community to benefit from in the month of Ramadan, from a webinar on how to prepare to recitation of the entire Quran, the meaning and the message of the whole Quran, the du'as from the Quran, special webinars and events in regards to the Battle of Badr, the last 10 nights and Laylatul Qadr, and so much more. We're very excited and happy to bring you all of this Ramadan programming. Be a part of the good work that we are doing at Qalam, educating Muslims, educating people all around the world by going to supportqalam.com. Donate, contribute, give generously, and have your share in the Sadaqa Jariya and the amazing work that is going on. Supportqalam, QALAM.com. Jazakumullahu khairan. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.
Rahman ar-Rahim, alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah wa kafa wa salamun ala ibadihi alladhina astafa. Khususan ala sayyidi ar-rusul wa khatam al-anbiya wa ala alihi al-askiya wa ashabihi al-atqiya. Amma ba'd. We all know of the story of the two sons of Adam alayhi salam, Habil and Qabil. How one became jealous, and as a result of his jealousy, committed an egregious crime against his own brother and murdered him. After he committed this crime, Qabil was banished from his people. As a result of this, he lived with the people around him, those that were close to him, separate from the children of Adam alayhi salam, who chose a righteous path. Therefore, among the children of Qabil, there were many problems that existed. There was immorality that was common. These were the first people to receive kufr and shirk. And ulama, they make a spiritual point here that when a person engages in a major sin, through the nahusa, through the lack of barakah of that sin, sometimes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can push those people far away, even until the point that they reach the brink of shirk and kufr, if not inside it. But the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is such that even though these people separated themselves from the others and lived an exclusive life of doing what they wanted to, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent a prophet to them. This particular group of people, the children of Qabil, they begin to worship five idols that were common among them. His children and their children, we're talking about generations down. They begin to worship five idols that became common among them. And according to some of the Mufassirun, as a riwayah from Urwa bin Zubair, these five idols they worshiped in reality were from the children of Adam alayhi salam. We know of the two children, Habil and Qabil. These were not the only children of Adam alayhi salam. He had many children. And from them, they say, were Wad, Ya'uq, Ya'uth, Suwa' and Nasr. These were the five that are mentioned in the Quran as well, that the people worshipped. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent a prophet of Allah to come and call them towards Islam. This prophet of Allah sat with the people and began to invite them. But the whole community carried themselves with arrogance. They felt that they were superior, that they were not locked by revelation like the other people were, that they can do what they wanted to. The Prophet of Allah, as you'll see very common with the Prophets of Allah, they went to those who were weak and poor and started their da'wah with them. So the leaders of the community, they began to say that if you want us to listen to what you have to say, you're going to have to abandon the poor. And then when we see that there aren't any poor people there, we will come to you and we will study with you. But we're not comfortable when it comes to interacting and socializing with poor people. We are rich people, we are sophisticated people, we are educated people. Unfortunately, that mindset exists very well today. You'll find many Muslims who live in the suburban areas of our communities who don't feel comfortable standing shoulder to shoulder outside the pandemic, or even within the same building in the pandemic, as people who aren't from their same social class. Unfortunately, the way we look upon one another is horrific. There was a time as a child, when I grew up, that if I was in a masjid, then what I'm about to say right now is going to hurt. So please brace yourself. But it's a true statement. When I was young and I was sitting in a masjid, and if a black person walked into our masjid, people would say to one another, hold on to your stuff, someone's going to rob us. وَلَا حَوْلَ وَلَا قُوَّةَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ. When I was young, I remember this. That when we would be sitting in the masjid, if a white person walked in, people would say, watch out, the FBI is here. This person can't be a sincere Muslim. There's no possibility. He doesn't have the skin tone that we have. Like the racism, the way the communities are divided, it's absolutely disgusting. And these people made it very clear to the Prophet that we will not be with you until these poor people are with you. Get rid of them, we will come and sit with you. So the Prophet of Allah made it very clear that I have no interest at all of getting rid of these people. يَا قَوْمِ مَنْ يَنْصُرُنِي مِنَ اللَّهِ إِنْ تَرَدْتُهُمْ. Who will help me if I get rid of these people? They've come for the sake of Allah, and I will serve them for the sake of Allah. At this point, the debate between the two sides got very heated. And then they said, قَدْ جَادَلْتَنَا فَأَكْفَرْتَ جِدَالَنَا فَأْتِنَا بِمَا تَعِدُنَا إِنْ كُنْتَ مِنَ الصَّادِقِينَ. You've argued with us, you've presented your case. Now why don't you just give us this punishment from God that you promise and get over with it. Tell God to send His punishment. Let's see what your God can do. These people started their mockery of the Prophet of Allah. And whenever anyone starts making fun of a prophet and gets disrespectful, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala holds them accountable. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the following verses, He tells us, وَأُوحِيَ إِلَىٰ نُوحٍ أَنَّهُ لَنْ يُؤْمِنَ مِنْ قَوْمِكَ إِلَّا مَنْ قَدْ آمَنْ فَلَا تَبْتَئِسْ بِمَا كَانُوا يَفْعَلُونَ. O Nuh, they've mocked you. They've crossed the limit. Now, no one else from them will accept Islam except for those that have already. So, don't give them too much more attention. In the meantime, وَصْنَعِ الْفُلْكِ. Build an ark. Nuh alayhi salam is inland. He's far away from the shore. Allah is saying, build an ark. In one riwayah, Nuh alayhi salam asked, O Allah, where will I build the ark from? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells him, plant the trees. So therefore, this whole process of building an ark wasn't just a few days or a few weeks long. It was a long process, according to one riwayah, according to one narration. According to another narration, Nuh alayhi salam, he gains control over the lumber and he starts building the ark. And as he's building this ship, as he's building the ark, the people, when they walked past him, they would laugh at him. They would joke with him. They would make fun of him and say, what kind of fool are you? What are you going to do with this massive ship inland? You're not even anywhere near the water. And Nuh alayhi salam was told by Allah not to engage them. In return, they would say, قَالَ إِن تَسْخَرُوا مِنَّا فَإِنَّا نَسْخَرُوا مِنْكُمْ كَمَا تَسْخَرُونَ. You can mock and curse all you want to. You can provoke as much as you want. I won't stoop down to your level. But when the answer from Allah comes, it will be much more painful. فَإِنَّا نَسْخَرُ مِنْكُمْ. Meaning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will shut you up. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will respond on my behalf, but it won't be through words. As Harun al-Rashid, he once sent a letter to a people who refused to give zakat. There were some people who refused to give zakat. So they wrote a letter to Harun al-Rashid that, oh Abbasid Khalifa, do whatever you want, we won't give you a zakat. So Harun al-Rashid wrote a letter back. And it's referred to sometimes as one of the most concise letters ever written in the history of Islam. One of the smallest letters. He told the messenger, when you go back to the people, gather everyone together, the whole village, the people who refuse to give zakat, gather them all together. And then read my letter to them. So he gathered everyone together. And then he read the letter. He said, this letter is from Harun al-Rashid, the Khalifa of the time. And this is the letter. Al-jawabu ma tara ma la tasma. Assalamu alaikum. The translation of this is, you will not hear my answer, you will see it. The armies are on their way. We're done talking. You want to be disrespectful like this? Al-jawabu ma tara. You will see my answer. Ma la tasma. We aren't talking with you. Those people pulled out their zakat and they gave it. So when they got carried away like this with Nuh alayhi salam, Nuh alayhi salam said to them, إِن تَسْخَرُوا مِنَّا فَإِنَّا نَسْخَرُوا مِنْكُمْ كَمَا تَسْخَرُونَ. Because every time they walked past Nuh alayhi salam, they mocked him. كُلَّمَا مَرَّ عَلَيْهِ مَلَأٌ مِّن قَوْمِهِ سَخِرُوا مِنْهِ. They always mocked him. And trust me, at times you will feel mocked. There will be people in your life who will always laugh at you. They'll always want to poke fun at you. And you're just trying to be a better version of yourself. But they will have something to say. It might even be your own mother and father at times. وَلَا حَوْلَ وَلَا قُوَّةَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ. Who aren't there to support you for the good cause, for your good intentions. You're trying to improve and you find people mocking you for going to the masjid, mocking you for fasting, mocking you for following the sunnah. Here, Nuh alayhi salam, it's so that Allah continue doing what you're doing. Nuh alayhi salam continues. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran that فَفَتَحْنَا أَبْوَابَ السَّمَاءِ بِمَاءٍ مُنْهَمِرٍ وَفَجَّرْنَا الْأَرْضَ عُيُونًا فَالْتَقَ الْمَاءُ عَلَىٰ أَمْرٍ قَدْ قُدِرٍ. That when the ark was prepared, Nuh alayhi salam invited those that were allowed to come onto this ark, and they all boarded. And then فَفَتَحْنَا أَبْوَابَ السَّمَاءِ. The skies opened up. وَفَجَّرْنَا الْأَرْضَ عُيُونًا. And the earth began to spit out water. And water began to come from both sides at once. Everyone was terrified and they began to run. What they didn't realize is that challenge that they made, فَأْتِنَا بِمَا تَعِدُنَا, bring on what your God has, it was here now. Nuh alayhi salam boarded the ark. And as they began to take off, كَانَ فِي مَعْزِلٍ, he saw his son who was alone. He said to his son, come and join us. His son said, سَآوِي إِلَىٰ جَبَلٍ. He thought that there was a material solution to this divine issue, to this divine punishment. He felt there was a material solution, that I can maybe go climb a mountain and protect myself. And in the middle of this, حَالَ بَيْنَهُمَ الْمَوْجِ فَكَانَ مِنَ الْمُغْرَقِينَ. A big wave came and swallowed the sun. Nuh alayhi salam was devastated. He was devastated first and foremost because of all the carnage and all the people that were dying. According to some riwayat, the flood of Nuh alayhi salam engulfed the earth. While then according to other riwayat, other narrations, it was within that area. But everything was destroyed in that area from this flood of Nuh alayhi salam. Finally, when everything settled down and the water subsided, Nuh alayhi salam raised his hands and he makes a dua to Allah. And I want you guys to pay attention because this part of the story is very interesting. Nuh alayhi salam was promised by Allah that Allah would protect his family. Yet in front of his eyes, he just saw his son die. His son was not a Muslim at the time. His son was swallowed by a wave. He saw his son die, and that seems apparently to go against the promise of Allah. So now he files a complaint in front of Allah, mu'addaban, with adab. Look at the language he uses. He says, إِنَّ بَنِي مِنْ أَهْلِي إِنَّ وَعَدُكَ الْحَقِّ أَنْتَ أَحْكَمُ الْحَاكِمِينَ. Three statements. My child is from my family. Your promise is true. You are the most just. He doesn't say, Allah, you're wrong. Allah, I'm right. You did me wrong. None of that. Simple. إِنَّ بَنِي مِنْ أَهْلِي. He creates what we would call the mantiqi formula, logical formula. My child is from my family. Your promise is true. You are the most just, Ya Allah. Explain this justice to me. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala responds back by showing the flaw in the formula. إِنَّهُ لَيْسَ مِنْ أَهْلِكَ. The natija, the outcome would have been correct if the components of the first part of the formula were correct. You say 1 plus 1 equals 2, there was no 1 there. He's not from your family. إِنَّهُ لَيْسَ مِنْ أَهْلِكَ. Why is that? إِنَّهُ عَمَلٌ غَيْرُ صَالِحٍ. Because his deeds were not good. And this is a powerful lesson for us all, and with this I will close. Sometimes there's someone who you spend your life with, who you give everything to. Someone who you give your heart to, your life to. But then they will choose where in life they want to go. You don't get to control that. Ultimately, as adults, people will choose what they want to do. If they choose good, it'll benefit them in this world and in the hereafter. But if they make a bad choice, it's not your problem to carry. In the world, you will continue to serve them because you are connected by blood and by skin, by family. But when you leave this world, those relationships no longer mean anything. Because a bodily relationship only means something in the world. In the akhirah and the hereafter, relationships that will matter are those that are built on a ta'alluq, a connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And on one side you see Nuh alayhi salam a prophet of Allah whose son dies outside of Islam. Next time you see someone who's struggling with their children, and their children have left Islam, know that there were prophets of Allah who lost their children to kufr as well. And this isn't due to negligence. Our community constantly thinks that because someone dies outside of Islam, that parent was negligent. No. You think Nuh alayhi salam was negligent? وَلَا حَوْلَ وَلَا قُوتَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ فَالْعَيَاذُ بِاللَّهِ. Not possible. But it's a reminder once again, إِنَّكَ لَا تَهْدِي مَنْ أَحْبَبْتِ. You cannot guide who you want. وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهِ هَدِي مَنْ يَشَاءُ. So all we can do is make dua to Allah. And Nuh alayhi salam, at the end of the story, he says, أَعُوذُ بِكَ أَنْ أَسْأَلَكَ مَا لَيْسَ لِي بِهِ الْعِلْمِ. Oh Allah, I seek protection in you and asking you of that which I don't know. وَإِلَّا تَغْفِرْ لِي وَتَرْحَمْنِي. Ya Allah, if I did wrong, because Nuh alayhi salam was reprimanded by Allah. Ya Allah, I did wrong. وَإِلَّا تَغْفِرْ لِي, if you don't forgive me, وَتَرْحَمْنِي, and have mercy upon me, أَكُمْ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ, I will be from those who lose out. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shares this beautiful story with us, showing us what happens to people who curse and mock the prophets of Allah. This story of the Quran, through the words of Allah, shows us when family dynamics become very complicated. When you give everything something, the best you have, and it still doesn't work out. If you find that happening in your life, know that it happened with the Anbiya alayhim as-salam. Because today's story was OG. We went back to the earliest of times. We went back to the time of Nuh alayhi salam. It's been happening since then, and it'll happen till the end of times. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us all, guide us, bless us with iman, bless our progeny with iman. Wa sallallahu ta'ala ala sayyidina Muhammad. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh.